All I know to say is, wow. Alfred, I don't know what God has for you, but I suspect had I been able to play the piano in any form or fashion like that, God wouldn't have, you know, called me to preach, all right? If I don't make it doing this, Dr. Patterson, I guess insurance is my next shot. But anyway, I believe God's got you in the right place, brother. Thank you for leading us in worship on that keyboard. It's good to see all of you here this morning. Dr. Kyle Walker, it is so good to see you. He and his sweet wife, Lauren, came through our college ministry at First Tuscaloosa some years ago now, and we knew that they were something special just right up front, very quickly, and how God has used him and blessed him. And so good to see you guys again. Looking forward to having some fellowship with you. Well, I love to come back to the hill. My wife and I share and have such great memories. Our memories are so fond of being here at Southwestern years ago. In fact, I was thinking this morning, again, our first child was born while we were here, Dr. Patterson, and he will be 31 years of age in June, so I guess that ages me a little bit, but as he said, we now have four grandchildren and are having a great time, and I hope sometime I can bring them here and just let them walk around on these hallowed grounds and let me tell them a few stories, you know, about our experiences here. But God used this place and the professors and faculty and fellow students here to make such an impression on our lives. And so I'm thankful to be here today. Probably what makes me more excited about today is the fact that I have the privilege to preach this week. Now, I know you guys are trying to prepare for exams and all of that, all right? So we're going to get out of here quickly. But I thought to myself, what a joy to be able to go and preach 5 days prior to the preeminent Lord's Day of the entire year for us as Christians. We're about to celebrate the single most important event in the history of the world. And as I thought about that this week, I thought, you know, how unfortunate it is that there are many people in our culture and in our world today who question both the reality and the necessity of the resurrection. Some might even say, you know, even if Jesus Christ did die on the cross, even if he did come out of that grave, what difference does it really make? What's the significance of the fact that a man may have come out of a tomb 2,000 years ago? Is there really any significance for us today? I read recently that while 64% of Americans still claim to believe that the resurrection is true, listen to this, only 36% of professing Christians believe in a future bodily resurrection for the saints. Which means that we have a lot of misunderstanding about the resurrection, do we not? Not only the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but the resurrection that is to come as well. Paul, of course, addressed both of these issues very clearly in what is, I know, a very familiar passage of Scripture to everyone in this room. And many of you can deal with it better than I. However, I want us to read, beginning in verse 22 today, what Paul said about the resurrection from 1 Corinthians 15. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that He raised Christ from the dead. But He did not raise Him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. And then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Amen? Christ indeed has been raised from the dead. Now, I wish we had time this morning to take a look at what these verses say about both the resurrection of Jesus and our resurrection to come. But we don't, obviously, have that much time. So today I want us to focus on the resurrection of Christ. Does it really matter? Does the resurrection really matter? And Paul gives us here four very clear statements, four very clear reasons for why the resurrection matters. First of all, the resurrection matters because our faith depends on it. Look at verse 14 again. Paul says, "And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is useless." Let me just stop right there. If Jesus Christ has not been raised from the dead, then what are we doing here? Why are we preaching today? Why do you preach week in and week out? Why did you send those teams? Kyle, why did you go to preach? If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is useless and our faith is in vain. What was Paul preaching? He was preaching the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, it's interesting that he begins this same chapter by giving what I believe to be, if not the most specific definition of the gospel, it is among those in the scripture. Notice what he says beginning in verse 1. He says, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word that I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance." Here's the gospel. Here's the definition. "That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." You ever tried to define the gospel just very simply? Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and on the third day he rose from the dead. You see, without the resurrection, the gospel is incomplete. I want you to think about that for a moment. Without the resurrection, the gospel is incomplete. I want to also suggest to you this morning that without the resurrection, the cross is incomplete. Now, some of you may want to chew on that a little bit. You might even want to take issue with me, so listen very carefully. You do realize that on the cross, Jesus Christ did everything necessary to provide atonement, right? But it was through the resurrection that Jesus proved the atonement. You might even think about it this way. While the cross is the theological basis for our faith, the resurrection is the apologetic basis for our faith. In fact, do you remember an interesting conversation Jesus had with the Pharisees in Matthew 12? A group of Pharisees came to him one day, and they said, "Hey, we want to see a sign from you. Show us a sign. In other words, show us something. Give us a sign that proves that you are who you say you are and that you are who other people are saying you are." You remember how Jesus responded? He said, "Look, an evil and an adulterous generation ask that kind of question." That's the kind of folk who want a sign. I mean, he was pretty straight, wasn't he? You're pretty evil. You're an adulterous generation. You're asking me for a sign, but I tell you, no sign will be given other than the sign of Jonah. For just as Jonah was in the belly of that great fish for 3 days and 3 nights, so will the Son of Man be in the earth. What was Jesus saying? He was saying, listen, you want a sign? You've had a sign. You know the prophets. You know the stories of old. And just as Jonah was in the belly of that fish 3 days and three nights, so I, the Son of Man, will be in the earth. And here will be your sign. When I come out of the grave alive, you will know that I am who I say I am. There will be no question whatsoever about it. Now, not to trivialize the resurrection in any way, but I've often thought, I wonder what it was like when Jesus stepped out of that tomb. I wonder if he was looking for some of those Pharisees. Here's your sign. You asked for a sign. Here it is. I told you. Here it is. And for the next 40 days, Jesus said, here's your sign. Here's your sign. To more than 500 people, he said, here's your sign. I am indeed the Son of the living God. I am the Messiah. Do you understand that without the resurrection, our faith in Jesus would be in vain? Had Jesus not come out of that grave, he would have been no different than 1,000 other men who had been crucified. Had Jesus not risen from the dead, he would have been a liar, not a savior. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, nothing else that he had to say would be reliable. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, friends, our faith in him would be completely in vain and our preaching useless. Not only that, I want you to know that the resurrection matters not only because our faith depends on it, but because our forgiveness depends on it. Look back to verse 17. Paul says, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. In the fourth chapter of Romans, Paul said that Jesus was delivered to death for our sins, and that he was raised to life for our justification. You all know that the word justification simply means to render just, to render innocent, to render righteous. In other words, it was through Christ's death on the cross that our sins are forgiven and that we are made righteous before God. The Bible says that we have no righteousness on our own, but only through the righteousness of Christ that is imputed to us when we put our faith in Jesus can we be right with God. Paul explained it this way in the third chapter of Romans. He says that this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So think about it. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, then the righteousness required in order to be in a right standing with God would have never been possible. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, then our faith is in a dead man who has no power to impute his righteousness to anyone. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, then our faith in him is absolutely in vain, and we are all headed to an eternal hell. I want to tell you something this morning. The resurrection matters. Our faith depends on it. Our forgiveness depends on it. But I want you to know also our family depends on it. I love how the body of Christ is often depicted as a family. Don't you love family? I love family. And the body of Christ is depicted as a faith family, and we become, of course, children of God. We are adopted into his family when we put our faith and our trust in Jesus. There are so many deceptions being perpetuated in our culture today, so many lies. I think about all those university students, some 37,000 of them on our campus, right there in our back door in Tuscaloosa. And those who are believers, their faith every day is assaulted by lies and deception. And sometimes they're so subtle. For instance, have you ever heard somebody say, "Oh, listen, we're all the children of God. We're all God's children." Sometimes they'll even say things like, you know, we need to get along because we're all God's children. Now listen, I believe we need to try to get along. I get that. I'm for that. But I've got news for you. We're not all God's children. I know that's not very politically correct today. That's not a real popular statement, but it's the truth. We are all the creation of God, but we're not all the children of God. We're all created in the image of God, but we are not all a part of the family of God. And those who are outside of a faith in Jesus Christ are not a part of the family of God. Do you understand that? You see, if Christ did not rise from the dead, then all the saints of old who put their faith and their trust in the promise of the coming Messiah, all of those saints of old, saints like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and David and Joseph, and the list goes on and on, all of those saints are in hell today. If Christ did not rise from the dead, then all of our loved ones who claimed faith in Him are in hell today. You want to make it really personal? How many of you have a family member who has already gone on to be with the Lord and you believe that they're in heaven today? Raise your hand. Let me see your hand. All of the saints. You've got a family member that you believe is in heaven today. All right? That's most of us. Can I be very frank with you? If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then your family member is not in heaven. Your family member is eternally lost. And like all the old saints, your family member was as misled and misguided in his or her faith in Jesus Christ as men like Muhammad or Buddha. And those who would put their faith in men like that. I mean, you understand that no one can be saved by faith in Muhammad today. Yesterday when I was picking up a rental car to drive over here to the seminary last night, the young man who was checking me into the car, basically making sure everything was all right. You know, we were walking around, and I noticed this music playing. He had some kind of little music box, Dr. Patterson, and I realized that it was Arabic, and I realized that it was a prayer. And so I just said to him, I said, "Sir, is that a prayer you're listening to?" And he kind of looked surprised and looked at me and said, "Well, yes, it is." He said, "Thank you for asking." And I said, "Okay," and we continued on with our conversation. And as I drove away, I thought, how sad. His faith is misguided. His faith needs to be redirected. You see, Muhammad died 1,383 years ago. And the reality is the remains of his body are still in a tomb in Medina. There are people in our world today that think it's just as true to put faith in someone like Buddha, who died 2,492 years ago and whose remains are still in a tomb. Dear folk, listen, the thing that sets Christianity apart from all of the world religions is that we serve a risen Lord. We serve a living God. We serve a Christ who, yes, died, but on the third day rose again. And the difference between what you preach and I preach and much of the world preaches is that we preach a living God and a living Savior. Don't tell me that the resurrection doesn't matter. It matters. Because our faith depends on it. Our forgiveness depends on it. And our family depends on it. But I also want you to know that it matters because our future depends on it. I read a story not long ago about a missionary who served for years in some of the remotest jungles of Brazil. And on one occasion, he encountered a tribe of Indians in this remote village that they had never discovered or met before. And very quickly, they realized that there was a sad, sad situation developing in this village because of a disease that was ravaging the tribe. It was only a matter of time that this entire tribe would be wiped out by this disease. So the missionary began to look into things, and it was determined that the only way for the tribe to survive, the only way for there to be a future for these people, was for him to somehow get them out of that village to another village some miles away that had a medical clinic in which they could be treated. And so he began to try to round them up and convince them to follow him, but they would not do it. And he discovered that the reason they would not go with him was because there was a river that separated them from that other village, and they believed that the river was inhabited by evil spirits. And they believed that to enter the water meant certain death, so they wouldn't get anywhere near it. Well, he began to think about ways that he could explain to them, that he could convince them somehow to cross the river with him. And so he just, first of all, said, well, look, you see that I'm here. I crossed the river coming to you, and I'm unharmed. But it didn't even faze them. And then he went to the bank of the river, and they didn't move. They just stayed back there. And he began to put his hands down in the water, and he'd slosh a little water up on his body, and still they were totally unconvinced, unmoved. Next, he waded out into the waters of that river about waist deep, and he began to slosh around and all the time saying, you see, come, it's okay. It's nothing will harm you here, come. Well, this time they took a step or two and they began to be more curious, but still they wouldn't get in the water. So finally, the missionary dove under the water into that river, and he swam underneath the surface of that water until he reached the other side. And when he reached the other side, he came out of the water with his fist clenched and his hands up in victory, to which all of those Indians began to shout and cry out, and they followed him through the river to the other side, to that village of deliverance. When Jesus Christ came into this world, he came into a world that was filled with fear of the future and fear of death. And the message that Jesus came bringing was, you have no need to be afraid of the future. Death holds no power over you if you will follow me. But many people were unmoved. On one occasion, he even touched a little boy and brought him back to life, and yet they still were not convinced. A little girl was brought back to life, and still many of them did not believe. He even allowed a man by the name of Lazarus to lay dead in a tomb for 4 days before bringing him back to life. And yet many still didn't believe. And so Jesus Christ submerged himself into the waters of death on a cross at Calvary. And there he died, and he submerged himself in death But on the third day, he emerged out of those waters of death, victorious over sin and death, to prove to all of those who would put their faith and trust in him that if they will follow him, he will bring them to the village of deliverance. Dear folk, listen, we have nothing to fear. In many ways, these are frightening days. They're some of the most exciting days in which we live. But listen, we have nothing to fear because no matter what may happen on this side of the river, we have been assured that Jesus will lead us victoriously to the other side. I love what Paul said to the Christians in Thessalonica. He said, "We don't want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with them those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another. Encourage one another with these words." Oh, the gospel is that Jesus died on the cross. He was buried, but on the third day, he rose again. And for 40 days, he said, "Here's your sign." And then he ascended back to the Father. But praise God, one day he is coming again. And he will bring with him those who have already been submerged in the waters of death and have emerged victoriously on the other side. And those who remain and are alive until the coming of that day, the last few verses of this same chapter tell us that they'll be changed in a moment. In a flash, in a twinkling of the eye. And their bodies, these old earthly bodies, will be transformed to their glorified heavenly bodies. And they'll meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we be with him in the family of faith forever. Can I leave you with a word this morning? Listen. Don't let anybody tell you that the resurrection does not matter. The resurrection does matter. Those of you that will be preaching it this Sunday, oh, preach the story. Please preach the story of the resurrection. But do more than that. Help your people understand why the story is true. Help them to be able to walk out of those sanctuaries and those auditoriums with an absolute certainty that Jesus Christ did rise from the dead. And it matters that he rose from the dead. Believe it. Until Jesus comes, because our faith depends on it. Trust it until Jesus comes, because our forgiveness depends on it. Hold to it until Jesus comes, because our family depends on it. And preach it until Jesus comes, because our future depends on it. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for these moments. And God, we are so mindful today that we are blessed by the gospel, and that Lord Jesus, you came and you died on that cross and you were buried, and on the third day you rose again, and that you are coming again. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because without that resurrection, our faith and our preaching would be in vain. We would know no forgiveness for sin. We would have no future with you. So thank you that you are the resurrected, living Savior, King of kings, and Lord of lords. And we pray in your name.